Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, beloved God. Thank you for joining me tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this, on Operation Salvation Ministries, the ministry that ministers to you. Remember, this is a day of worship because this is a God day. Now, thanks for just joining us. And I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that's very controversial. I want to talk to you tonight about the Great Tribulation. Now, a lot of people think right now that we're in the Great Tribulation. Not according to Scripture. But the Great Tribulation will be taking place. But I want to talk to you tonight about the Great Tribulation, who the Great Tribulation is for, because there are basically two tribulations. And I just want you to just get your pen, get your paper, pause this audio if you need to, and read for yourself. Now, I know that when we're talking about the Great Tribulation, a lot of people get uptight about it. But now, believers shouldn't be offended by us talking about the Great Tribulation. Because if your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you really don't have to fret yourself. But now, the question is, though, who is the tribulation for? Now, some say that there will not be saints in the Great Tribulation. Some say that the church is going to be taken out before the Great Tribulation. You got a pre-tribulation rapture, then you got what you call a post-tribulation rapture, which is called a catching away. I know the word rapture is not in the scriptures, but it's called catching away, the time when God comes back for his people. But now, what does the Word of God say about this? That's what we're trying to find out. We're trying to find out now what does the Word of God says about the Great Tribulation. Will there be saints in the Great Tribulation? Or will the saints be taken out before the Great Tribulation? Well, we're getting to the Word of God, and let's see what the Word of God says. There's a lot of preconceived ideas. People wrestle with the scriptures because they don't want to believe. And I can understand that in some way, because if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, if you're not saved, then you have a problem, because you know it's going to be terrible. You know it's going to be frightening, and you just don't want to go through it. But now, a saint of God, a Bible-believing Christian, one who is washed in the blood of Jesus, shouldn't be fretting about this at all. So let's go into the scriptures in a few moments, but we want to pray. And let's see what the Word of God says, what is going to happen. The Word of God is our only compass point. You know, that's the one who leads us into the right direction, the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and this is that Word. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. We praise you for your many, many blessings, and we just ask you, Lord, to just have your way. Meet the needs that we have. Everything that's I know Satan come to try to intimidate, and he tried to make us fear, but fear is not a part of our lifestyle when it comes to the born-again believer, because when we fear, we don't trust you. But knowing your word and learning your word being in us, it only empowers us, because we know the truth, and we know that truth brings forth freedom, liberty. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So, Lord, as we get into the Word of God tonight, or today, whenever they're listening to it, when they're listening, Lord, we just ask you, God, to give them some inspiration, give them revelation, Lord God, and so we can write the divine scriptures and see what the Word of God says, because that's all we have. We can make up all kinds of ideologies. We can make up all kinds of theories. And we can say this and we can say that the way we feel. But what does the Word of God say? Father, we thank you now. We praise you and we glorify your magnificent name. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, we thank you for it. Amen. Now, the question, beloved God, is, what is the Great Tribulation? Who is it for? And how many tribulations are there? Okay? Now, there is going to be a catching away of the church. The Bible says in Second Peter, third chapter, it says that in verse 3, said, knowing this first, that's Second Peter chapter 3, said, knowing this first, that there shall in the last days come scoffers, called mockers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, scoffers, saying that it won't be taking place. They're catching the way of God. The people of God would not be taking place because it's not happening when they want it to happen. So they think that it's not going to happen. But the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, because he's not willing for any of us to perish, but that we come to repentance. So the Lord is just waiting to gather his people, because there is going to be a catching away. And people are despondent and say, well, when is he coming? When is he coming? He's coming when he says he's coming, or when he shows. All you have to do is to be ready. But now, but a lot of people use the 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 16th verse, I'm getting ahead of myself, where it says that they think that this is the catching away, but they're saying it's going to take place before the Great Tribulation. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say in this verse, when the catching away of the church happens, that the people are going to be caught up before the Great Tribulation. It doesn't say that. And we're going to be discussing some things. It might not be doing it in this session because there's so much to cover. So we're probably going to be doing a part two also. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the scripture says there is a catching away, or what they call a rapture, is going to be taking place. But now the question is, the teachings is that there will not be any saints in the Great Tribulation. But now, is that right? Is that right? How about the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter? Speaks about the people of God, the saints, being attacked by the Antichrist. So if the Antichrist is attacking the saints, then there are some saints in the great tribulation, because the Antichrist, when the Antichrist comes into play, it begins what we call the great tribulation. Now, some people believe that the great tribulation is 7 years. No, the great tribulation is not 7 years. The great tribulation is 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, let's go to the scripture. In the book of Revelation, 13th chapter. It doesn't have this. In verse, let's start at verse 5. Now, I will start at verse 4. And they worship, this is Revelation 13, 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Talk about Antichrist. Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers were given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, the scripture says that the Antichrist is going to come against saints. Okay. Remember, the Antichrist, you've got God's wrath, and you have Satan's wrath. Satan's wrath is against the people of God. God's wrath is against the people in the world, those who have borne the mark of the beast. Now, we have to understand that God's word is the only thing that we have to go on. It's his word. Now, you've got Satan's wrath, then you have God's wrath, right? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 speaks about the wrath of God, not the wrath of Satan. Now, we're going to be showing you in the scriptures about the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan. Now, I told you in the outset that there are basically two tribulations. So now, what I want to do first, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 3. And it says, for we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other bound, so that we ourselves glory to you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and trouble and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteousness, of righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, you're going to be going through a tribulation, but also them that trouble you will be going through a tribulation. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I might as well go on and finish reading it. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, we talked about, we mentioned the tribulation of the Antichrist coming against the saints, right? So that lets us know that saints are going to be there. And there's no point in trying to wrestle with the scriptures. Just take the scripture as it is. Don't say, well, there's going to be some, that Christ is going to come take away his church, and then after a while he's going to come back and get the other people. That's not scripture. That's not right. Because there nobody, if Jesus, when Jesus comes to get his church, that's it. Spirit is going to be gone. And nobody can get saved without Holy Spirit. Think about that. See, we can't be wrestling with the scriptures. And any saint shouldn't be afraid. But now in the book of Revelation, at chapter 2, I want to show you something. I want to read something. And I talk about the two tribulations. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, it talks about the church of Thyatira. Right? Let's read that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 18. Let me get my stuff right here. And it said, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, charity and service and faith and thy patience, and the works in the last be more than the first. But he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Because you suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophet, a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with the death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searched all the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, what I wanted to show you was that there is a tribulation for the world. You've got two wraths. You've got Satan's wrath that comes against the saints. We call that the Great Tribulation. But then there is another tribulation in the 16th chapter of Revelation. And it talks about those who have borne them up. But it's God's tribulation, not Satan's. Or it's God's wrath, not Satan's wrath. This is God's wrath. And I know this may be the first time any of you ever heard of this. But this is God's wrath against evil mankind. Revelation 16 chapter. And they're called vows. And it goes on down and it talks about those vows. You got vow, the first vow. It said, and the first vow it went, Revelation 16 and 2, let's read it. And the first went and poured out his vow upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which had worshipped his image. That's God's wrath. Then you go on down and talk about the second vow. You go on down and talk about the third vow. The whole chapter, I don't want to read it all because time won't allow me on this one. I might get to it in part two. But now, if you read on down, you read about every vow, that's God's wrath upon the world. So they're going through a tribulation, just like when we talk about the church of Thyatira. All right, and then it talks about it in the book of 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about that in the book of the first chapter, where it talks about that in verse 6, he said, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation upon them that trouble you. He's going to get them, and then Satan is going to come against us. But God's going to destroy his. Satan won't be able to destroy his. There's only a few that's going to die from the wrath of Satan. And you better believe it, love God. They are prepared. They are ready. They're not afraid. Because their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, but those who are going through the wrath of God, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names have been written in the book of doom. They're destined to die, go to hell, and burn in the lake of fire. See, a lot of people think the hell is the final destination, but if you read the scriptures now, death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Okay? But now, I just wanted to share that with you, that little bit right there with you, to understand that there are two wraths. There's the wrath of Satan, which comes against the saints of God. So that theology or that theory that's saying that there's no saints going to be in the great tribulation, the scripture kills that. I do understand why mankind does that, or men and women, and teaches this stuff because they're afraid. They have already preconceived in their minds how the thing is going to be. You can't do that. You can't do that. But then you start teaching stuff that's contrary to scripture. Now, maybe some of you are going to be hearing this, and you're going to teach contrary. And that's your business. But now, you better come with word, because if you don't come with the word, and come with the word, don't come with what you think and how you feel. Because God don't work on your emotions like that. You know, you got to come the way the word of God says. This point blank. That's it. Because if you try to dress it up, you get in trouble with God. The Bible says if you add to, what do you take from? He said the plague that were mentioned in the book of Revelation is going to be applied to your life. So just go with the word of God, because if your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not worrying about a great tribulation. No. For what? For what? You're going to worry about a great tribulation when you're born again. You're washing the blood of Jesus. I'm talking about you. I'm talking, you got the great I am walking in you. And you're afraid. You're intimidated. And then you're going to teach stuff because you're so wrapped up in the flesh. No, beloved. Hey, if we got to go through, we go through. Some of us going to die before it happens. And another thing, don't think that what's happening right now has got this thing to do with great tribulation. It might be a forerunner of what's on the verge of coming. It may be. But then again, we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid of that. No, because our names, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is not intimidated by. We're not afraid of it. We're not afraid to die. That's what we're saved for. We're saved to live in this earth and to die when times come. Well, first of all, to die to ourselves. So we're going to live unto God. So the thing is, don't fret yourself. Don't get yourself all in a mess. Fret yourself. Become born again. Get saved. Get washed in the blood of Jesus. Let God rule and reign in your life. And see what happens. God loves you more than you know, beloved. So we see that there are two wraths, God's wrath and Satan's wrath. God's wrath is for the unjust. Satan's wrath is for the just. One die, if we die, those who are born again, our names have been written, if we die, we're good. Those people that God come against don't even have a chance. Now, I don't mind Satan coming against me. But I have a problem with my Father, my Creator, coming against me. Because I know I lose. I know I lose. I can't win. But when I know that Satan is coming, which is a defeated foe, been stripped of everything, and the only thing he can do is what God allows him to do, that's very comforting, isn't it? I'm talking about to know that he can't do no more than what the Father allows, so the Father knows that you're prepared to go through what you're going through, so that's going, you know, that's going to happen. But I just wanted to share that with you, and I just wanted to help you to understand, but you need to get into scriptures for yourself. And we're going to get into some scriptures later on, part two. We're going to talk about the Word of God and how people have theorized on how the church is going to be taken out and all this other stuff. And we're going to use those scriptures. But we're going to see what those scriptures say, and we're going to compare those scriptures with some things that happened in the past that they're using, which God never said. You know, he never said. But I'm trying to keep from giving it away. But I want you to listen in and listen to it. You can call me or leave a message on my phone or text the ministry at 252-525-8662. You can text or call at 252-525-8662. And also you can email us. You can email us at OS Ministry, that's osministry01@gmail.com. That's Operation Salvation Ministry. osministry01@gmail.com. I want to hear what you have to say. Don't try to take it easy on me, right? And don't say, well, he going to believe just what he wants to believe. No, I want you to help me out. If you know anything different, I want you to help me out. Text me, email me, call me. And if you can't get me at that time, because it's the ministry line, so I might not be there at that time, but you can give me a call, leave a message, and file your complaint, so to speak. File your complaint. Tell us what you want us to know. But what I do want you to do, beloved God, I want you to come with scripture, though. Don't come with your feelings. Don't come with your emotions. Because you know God don't deal with that in us when it comes to his word. Because he's not going to change his word according to our feelings. Remember that. He's not going to change his word according to our feelings. So I want you to be encouraged. And I want you to know that the Lord loves you. Because some people right now think of what we're going through now is in the great tribulation. Maybe a forerunner of that which has come, a little taste of what is about to come. Maybe. But so what? Who's afraid of that? The Bible believers, those who are born again, those who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have the seal of God in their foreheads, and those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, really don't care. Only thing we care about our loved ones that are not prepared. Our loved ones that are not prepared, yeah, we're concerned. But still, they have to make that choice for themselves. Remember that. Well, beloved God, it's time to go. But look for part two to come. But remember now, osministry01@gmail.com and 252-525-8662. Give me a call or text. I'd love to hear from you. Love you with the love of the Lord. I just want you to be encouraged. Because Christ loves you more than you know. And I'll talk to you next time. And God bless you.